Your face is, oh mercy. Sister Srum, would you read your shirt to us?
It says, hang on, let me overtake this. Sister Charlene gave it to me.
You're not the only one going under the bus tonight, huh?
Back it up.
Does it fit?
Brother Bo, would you also order prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for letting us all be here tonight. Thank you for those that, everyone that is able to be here, and giving them all safe traveling on the roads. Lord, be with those that are sick and need your healing hand at this time, especially our elderly and those with just cancer and other diseases that they're battling at this time. Thank you for the teachers that are here this evening, Lord, and the time they spent on their lessons, and I pray that you bless them and bless the Springfield Church for hosting this school. And again, ask that you be with the many burdens and requests and each church that's represented here, and the pastors, Lord, and just the many things we need your help and your guidance on. These things, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Brother Johnny, would you read Matthew chapter 4 for us, verse number 19. Did he say this could happen? It might happen? There's a possibility?
I will.
What's the only condition on being a fisher of men?
Follow me.
Now, we know this is the start of the church. How many of those disciples did that apply to?
All
12?
Judas?
Follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men?
If he'd follow him, yes.
If you follow him, I'll make you a fisher of men.
And Judas would have followed.
Do you have any Bible to support that?
Right. We just read it.
Oh, we just read it. Okay. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Brother Daniel, your tongue is limbered up. Would you read verses 1 through 7 for us?
And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples.
Oh, I'm sorry. How many were there?
12.
How many was not there? Go ahead, brother.
When he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease.
All the way to verse 7.
Oh, to where? I didn't hear that. To 7?
Yes, to 7.
Okay. Sorry. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Levis, whose surname is Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into the city of the Samaritans enter ye not, But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
So what did these verses in Matthew 14, 19 have to do with each other? Brother Daniel?
You asking me?
Sure.
They're the same thing?
They're the same thing. How so?
Well, told them to go. Go over in Matthew 4. Go in verse 5. Go now into the way. Told them who to preach to. And then verse 7, what do they preach? The kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Literally, if you follow Jesus, he tells you exactly how to be a fisher of men. This is not rocket science. We don't need fancy brochures and 12 steps and Roman roads and Niagara Falls. We just simply need to follow Jesus. Now, Brother Daniel, you did a good explanation. Do it again and show us those verses again and how what you illustrated.
Well, you got Matthew chapter 4, 19, where he says, follow me, and I will make you fishers. And then in verse 5, he says, go into the way of, not into the way of the Gentiles, but go, verse 6, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, or become fishers of men.
And do we know, do they know what to preach?
For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Judgment is coming.
He told them where to go, where not to go, what to do, preach, and what to preach. Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Brother Nathan, did you have something? Applied to all the disciples. What's that?
I didn't know if it was.
I'll take either of you. I'm desperate tonight. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Thanks be to God that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have already won the victory. We've got it. Therefore, be steadfast. We've already won. We've won. Be steadfast. No wonder Stephen, Paul, Peter could stand and endure the onslaughts. Because the victory had already been won. All they had to do was stand and deliver. Stand, be a steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Well, what's our victory? Look at 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5. Look at verse number 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We already have the victory. Therefore we should be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Well, what's the victory? It's our faith. It's our faith. Ah, there's the rub. Look at James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Start in verse number 17. Brother Nathan, would you read verse 17 through 26? Oh, the first one, I was going with the first one that looks at me. Okay, Brother Nathan.
We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not.
That's a good verse.
Is that not it?
But how about James?
James what?
Chapter 2. Thank God I've got a backup, Brother Nathan. Verse number 17. James 2, verse 17.
Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead beyond being alone.
Okay. Let's pause there so you have time to refresh and, you know, really be able to hit 18 hard. Look at 17. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. We have our victory. We have the victory. Thanks be to our Lord Jesus Christ, we have the victory. What's our victory? It's our faith. But what defeats victory? Faith without works. Why isn't our churches all above 1,000? Jerusalem church was. These same 12 in Matthew chapter 10, by the time he gets to Acts chapter 2, is over 1,000. Because their faith gave them the victory, and the faith was accompanied with works. Their faith caused them to work. Their faith caused them to work. They have the victory. They couldn't be stopped. They may have been killed. James and Stephen were, but didn't stop. They already had the victory. Stephen and James wasn't defeated. They had secured their victory. It was left to Peter to finish the course. It was left to a young man, Saul, to try to get this prick out of his heart that he got when Stephen preached, delivered a message. Faith, verse 17. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Okay, Brother Nathan, verse 18.
Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou dost well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he hath offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect?
Okay, pause there. How was faith made perfect?
By what you do.
By what you do. By your works. What does it mean to be perfect? Complete and whole.
In.
What's that?
In.
Yes, in Jesus Christ. You say you have, what's that verse say there? Verse 18? Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. That's not a big issue. That's not a big test of faith, is it? No, there's a God. Well, the demons believe in God. Believe in Jesus Christ and the resurrection. Preach it. Show it. Live it. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. What does that have to do with evangelism?
Preaching.
What's that?
Knowing and preaching.
I got preaching. I didn't get the start of it.
Going out and actually preaching to every living soul.
Yes. Actually going out. Do you believe Jesus? Yay, I believe Jesus. Then follow me. Brother Nathan.
I don't know, kind of dancing around what that faith is, though.
Okay.
Because it's, like, if you go back to that Matthew 10, further on, he said, don't do this and don't do that, just go. But what was going to save somebody? What did draw men to the truth? What did cause them to repent? It's the power of God, not us. So really, what does Hebrews 11 confess about Abraham and Isaac? Well, they trusted the power of God. So it's not, it's the burden, you know, maybe sometimes we lack the evangelism because we feel the burden is, can I say the right words? Do I have the eloquence? Can I attract people? Can I do this or that? But the Bible doesn't reveal that. It reveals that if the Father draws them to me, if I get raised up, I will draw them to me. So it's not, the power is in God, and it's in his truth, not us.
Mm-hmm.
So faith is just doing what God tells you to do and trusting that he's got the power to do whatever he sent that word out to perform.
That's it. That's it. Win, lose, or draw, he's got the victory. Mm-hmm. We are overwhelmed with, we want results. And the results we want is, when we witness to somebody, we want them to repent and accept the Lord and submit to baptism, become a church member and be faithful church member. And if they don't, we feel dejected. And worse, if they are adversarial to that, then we're done. But the whole point was that Jesus wanted us to give them the gospel. What they do with it is between them and God. Mm-hmm. Brother Nathan.
And you go back to that day of Pentecost too, you think about the fame that went abroad of Christ for years. It's not like those people heard that message on that day for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So how does the power of God work? It works by planting seeds and watering them and letting God give the increase. So this whole idea of expecting that righteous reaction immediately from our preaching and not expecting any dejection, it refutes what Christ even went through.
Mm-hmm.
This is all a test of faith. Are you going to just be obedient regardless
of the
outcome?
It's a test of
faith. It's always has been from day one. Don't eat the tree. It was a test of faith. Are you going to believe me or obey me or not?
Exactly right. It's a test of faith. Saul heard Stephen's message, and the result of that message was Saul made a havoc of the church. Mm-hmm. Destroyed the church. Killed church members.
Trying to get away from the message.
Now, from a fleshly point of view, there would have been a lot that said that was an utter failure from Stephen. But the church didn't feel that way, did they? They had to flee for their lives, but how did they flee? They went everywhere doing what?
Preaching the gospel.
preaching the very gospel that got the church into a havoc situation, that got brethren and sisters thrown into prison and killed. They're now preaching it everywhere. They're living out their faith. They're applying works to their faith. What about us? We've already got the victory. The victory's won. All we got to do is show up. That's all we got to do is show up. Be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. Brother Johnny.
We're talking about the idea of faith. If you witness somebody just because you think you have to, or if it's not genuine, then it's not going to have an effect. It has to be, you have to literally love that soul like Jesus loved that soul and have the faith that the scripture will bear out what he needs that person to hear or whatever. But if you just blurt out some scripture and you're not really, like we say, sitting in a pew, lip service, that's not faith. Faith has to be genuine, has to be from your heart. Like there's no tomorrow. You can say anything to somebody that's scripture, but unless it's genuine and they experience that love that you have for Jesus that you're expounding to them, then it has an effect.
Wonderful point, and that's part of what witnessing is sharing your faith in a genuine, sincere fashion. Is that supported by Scripture?
Yeah.
What does Psalms 126 tell us? Verses 5 and 6. He that goeth forth weeping, sowing precious seeds, shall what? Doubtless, as without any doubt, come again, bringing his sheaves with him. You go out and don't sow in tears, not genuine, not sincere, don't expect a harvest. Don't expect that. But I've never been able to tell a single person whether or not they're going to be receptive or not. I've always been astounded. The ones that I knew would be great, great workers for the Lord, they just got so much ability and passion, don't do a flip. They get saved, that's amazing, because they don't have any interest. And the ones I think aren't even worth the time, they're not going to listen anyway, not only get saved, they get into church, and they're doing amazing things beyond their ability. And how's that possible? Because they're giving everything to God and God's blessing them for it. But I've never been able to tell who's who at the start. I got my opinion. I've told you, I went to witness to a lady in the hospital next to the window. There's two in the room. And the lady was just not receptive. And I, as I left, got to the door, the other lady said, "Thank you for coming. I needed that." I hadn't even paid any attention to her. I thought, what an idiot I am. I was focused on the one that I thought would be receptive. And when she wasn't, I was all dejected. And as I got to the door, Lord had other plans. He wanted that woman to get the message. The victory's ours. All we got to do is show up. That's all we got to do is show up. That's it. Show up and you get the Academy Award. Show up and you get the Grammy. Show up and you get the Tony. Show up and you get the Pulitzer Prize. Show up and you get the Nobel Prize. All we got to do is show up. and be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work. Always abounding in the work. Brother Nathan, go ahead and read verse number.
And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith Abraham, believeth God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also.
Look at verse 23. Why was Abraham called the friend of God? Because of his faith. Was that all? Abraham had faith. Was that all that made him the friend of God?
And his Christ-like
obedience.
Obedience.
Brother Nathan.
So, I mean, it's compounding problems. So Rahab received the messengers. Abraham believed God. Both cases, they were given a message.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say it was God's word. So they received God's word and they believed it. So maybe we don't study. I don't know. Maybe we're not receiving God's word. How do you follow Christ if you don't know what he did? If you don't understand his existence? He said he left us with footsteps to follow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're not reading, and then that goes back to, well, how do we get strengthened in the spirit? By consuming the spiritual word. And then you exercise it and practice it. But I know the church there in Prineville hears us all the time. We're pretty convinced that people don't spend enough time in the scripture to get that encouragement and strength to go out there and preach the word. And then maybe the 2 Timothy 2:15, maybe there's shame there because they don't know. They don't know the truth.
I'm sure that's part of Sister Rhonda.
Because you've been my teacher for so many years, I'm going to correct you.
Oh, okay.
If you don't, I've showed up a lot. For many times, many things. Showing up is not enough.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not showing up in faith.
Mm-hmm.
And as Brother Nathan just brought out, I'm convinced about Romans 10:17.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not in the scriptures, you're not going to have faith.
Amen.
You can show up all you want to. I've done the work many times
mm-hmm.
in my own work,
mm-hmm.
in my flesh,
mm-hmm.
with faith removed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's when I'm discouraged. That's when I become disgruntled. That's when I want to give up. But when I do the work in faith, spiritually, that's what faith is.
Mm-hmm.
That's a spiritual work. When I do the work that way, then it doesn't affect me, the outcome. I might
mm-hmm.
be sad. I
mm-hmm.
might pray for them, but it doesn't discourage me. Why?
Yeah.
Because I'm not doing it in my flesh. It's not about me.
Amen.
That's what that faith is talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Removing ourselves from out of this flesh and doing the work of the Lord through the Spirit.
Yeah.
You're absolutely correct. We have to have faith. We have to have works. We need both of them. I can guarantee you, Sunday morning, if you ask the church Sunday morning, how many of you in here have faith? Just about everybody will raise their hand. Then ask them, how many of you talked to anybody this week about the Lord? Raise your hand. There won't be the same number. Well, what's happening? Faith without works is dead. But works without faith is worthless.
Yes.
That's where Judas was at. He was working.
Mm-hmm.
He was looking like all the rest of them. He was looking like all the rest of them, so much so that when Jesus said, go do what you got to do, the rest of them didn't go, oh, well, there it is. There he.
No.
They couldn't tell because he was working, but without any results because it wasn't coupled with faith. We need faith and works coupled together. There is no shortcut to effective evangelism. You can learn the Roman road. You can learn the Niagara illustration, Niagara Falls illustration. You can learn all these techniques and tactics, and that's wonderful. But there's no shortcut. The shortcut is believe God and follow Him. And then it all falls into place. Believe God and follow Him is the faith part coupled with the works. Believe God, that's the faith. Follow is the work. I believe Him, therefore I'll do something about it.
He'll give you all the tools you need.
And He'll give you all the tools you need. He'll give you all the tools you need. He'll enable us. He'll labor with us. We actually labor with Him. There's not been a single person I've ever witnessed to that He wasn't involved in it. Have you ever witnessed to somebody and all of a sudden have a verse of Scripture come through? Oh, I haven't studied that in months. Russ put me to that test here some time ago. He stepped in my office and said, Mike, where is this verse at? That says, you know, something about, I said, you think I can just pull a verse off the top of my head like that? He says, well, you claim to know God, don't you? I've seen you do it before. I'm going, Lord? Oh, yeah, it's 1 John 9. You know, I couldn't have, wasn't my impression. He said, how are you able to do that? I said, it's the Holy Spirit. It's not me. We labor with God. He enables us to do the work. He enables us. He gives us power. That word power we've looked at before, that word power is where we get the word dynamite. It's explosive. We have the power to use the Word of God, and what can the Word of God do? Divide the soul and spirit that nothing else in the universe can do. Have you ever witnessed to somebody use the Word of God and seen them touched so deeply? And if all the rest wasn't enough, He gives us the Holy Spirit. My goodness. Yeah, show up. Show up. Follow. Take that faith and put some feet to it. But just don't decide to put feet to it. You got to do it in faith. It takes both of them. And then we will be unstoppable. They threw Paul in prison. He said, I'm in bounds, but the Word of God isn't bound. The attitude of this guy. We're throwing him in jail. We're going to beat him while he's in jail. What are you going to do now, Paul? Well, it's about midnight. I'm thinking about singing a hymn. There's an earthquake. Don't kill yourself. We're all here. Ship's going down. Don't worry about it. God said we'll be okay. Snake bit. The guy was unflappable. Brother Jeff.
Snake bit.
Snake bit. Well, I'm not going to die here. Mm-hmm. Brother Johnny. Speaking of snake bit. Brother Johnny has pet snakes.
We got to get off topic here.
Pet rattlesnakes. They're not like garter snakes. They're like...
You recognize when God's in it. And just like a fisher, when they're biting, you have to recognize and believe 100% that His word will not go not void. It has nothing to do with us. It has to do with our faith in Him and letting Him do it. And when you see that He's setting up the conversation, you don't back off, and sometimes it's scary, or you don't want to go forward. But if you have, you keep your faith and keep the 100% that God's word will come, will work on them. It doesn't have to do with you.
You see the biting, you know, they're biting onto it. And then you keep going, and you keep going. And that's happened over her many, many times. And it's like, it's always like, it's amazing. Because you don't know what God has in store for a person that you're talking to, or what's going to be setting up, or what's going to happen. So by your faith, you're just preaching the word, and that's all he needs for you to do. Be genuine, be 100%, and the person starts biting like a fish, the fisher, then you recognize. But if you're not paying attention and your faith isn't strong, you're not going to recognize and you're going to ruin the witness, and you're not going to be a good workman for God.
Exactly right. Look back at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 57 and 58 again. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We have never witnessed to one soul, whether they accepted the Lord or rejected him, that it was labor that was in vain. The victory was already won. All we had to do was have enough faith to put some work to it. And God can do incredible things. You want to know how incredible God can be? He saved your soul. And none of us was looking for it until he drew us. It's amazing. And if he gave us that opportunity, why are we hoarding it from all those more deserving individuals? We'll pick up in the morning. Let's stand and ask a blessing on the refreshment. Brother CJ, would you do that for us?